believed in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said,
"If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
They answered him,
"We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?"
Jesus replied,
"Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father."
"Abraham is our father,"
they answered.
"If you were Abraham's children,"
said Jesus,
"then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father."
"We are not illegitimate children,"
they protested.
"The only father we have is God himself."
Jesus said to them,
"If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God."
The Jews answered him,
"Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?"
"I am not possessed by a demon,"
said Jesus,
"but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death."
At this they exclaimed,
"Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?"
Jesus replied,
"If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad."
"You are not yet 50 years old,
they said to him,
"and you have seen Abraham."
"Very truly I tell you,"
Jesus answered,
"before Abraham was born, I am."
At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
Quite a passage today. So today, can you turn that microphone down a little bit? All right, so today I just feel like I need to walk around a little bit, so we're going to be down here today. So the title of today's message is Free Indeed. All right, and we've got two key verses, so we recite these together, okay? It's 32 and 36. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So I just want to say up front that today is not my typical exposition message. So I'm just pretty much going to talk about the two key verses today. And it's kind of a more application in your face kind of message. So Hopefully it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable or offended. Hopefully not. That's not my intention. But if it does, just remember that Jesus certainly offended the believers in today's passage. So I'm just keeping with the spirit of the passage. So sometimes we have to hear the hard truth about ourselves, right? But you know what? That's okay, because we are in the Father's house. And truth is God's way of setting us free to learn and to grow in Him. So may God reveal today the truth that sets us free. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we too often find ourselves in bondage to something. Please have mercy on us to accept your invitation today and be free. Free from that which binds us. Help us to remove our pride and stubbornness that stand in the way of freedom. You do not promise us that your truth would be easy to hear. But if we can accept and hold to it, we can find a way forward from the place we are stuck and enter a place where we are truly free indeed. So help us today to find that freedom which you so graciously offer us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to have some hands-on stuff in the message today. So we need a Sharpie marker. So if you don't have one, just raise your hand. Ruth can bring you one, or you can grab one from the table back there. So, all right. So last week, we learned about the light of the world. And Greg used some candles and poker chips to help us remind us of this point. So today, you can see we're going to use balloons to help us remember some point from today. So did any of you light your candles last week and pray the psalmist prayer, right? Lord, keep my lamp burning. How many of you lit your candles? I hope you did. So it's very important to know that Jesus is the light of the world, right? Before you can be set free. So if you're trapped in a dark room, for example, you need the light before you even know where the door is to get out. So knowing Jesus shows us where we are and leads us to the next step, that is, to be free. Okay, but what is freedom? Is freedom merely the ability to do whatever we want to do? Is that really freedom? Yeah. You see, freedom cannot really exist without boundaries, right? So if I said to you, you can never leave this church building, right? Then freedom becomes to you anything outside of this building, right? Because I set a boundary, so now your definition of freedom is anything outside this building. You see, freedom depends on what is binding you. That is true both in the physical world as well as the spiritual. Spiritually, we can become bound by fear and guilt and so many other things. What is worse is that Christians often choose to live in captivity to the attitudes that bind them. In fact, most people, even after they are saved, live in bondage most of their lives. They live in a bondage they can't even identify. They just know that most of their life there was something just wasn't ever quite right. There was something out there they just could never get a hold of. They just don't feel like they're being that thing that God wants them to be. So Jesus today is inviting us to identify what is holding us back and to find freedom that only he can give. So in the Bible study this week, we discussed how this passage is, in a way, primarily actually about Jesus' wonderful invitation to freedom to all believers. So starting from verse 31, Jesus says, "To the Jews who had believed him, if you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Are you really free? So if I were to ask you today, how many of you are in some form of bondage, how many of you would honestly raise your hand? Right? I'm primarily talking to believers, right? Because most of you here are saved. That is, you have already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know that you're saved. But you maybe never have felt a true, genuine sense of freedom. So I want you to look at that balloon that is tied to your chair and imagine that's you. Okay, that's you, that balloon. And so it's like every time you want to lift off, right? Those balloons want to go higher. It's like you want to go to a higher place in your Christian life, but there's something that's holding you back. It's like the string, right, that's tying that balloon to the chair. Right? You can't be free. You have to first identify what's holding it back, right? So, in fact, I want you to grab your balloon, and I want you to draw your face on it, all right? Make it look like you, right? The best you can. Okay, here's my balloon. I drew myself a little earlier. So I gave myself some green eyes, because I have green eyes. Receding hairline. I'm going to tie my balloon right here. Okay, look at those pretty faces. All right. You don't have to spend too long, but as you're working on that, I want to tell you about there's a danger. There's a danger about living in bondage, right? You can become so comfortable living in bondage that after a while, even if someone offers you a way out, you don't want it. You don't want it. You know why? Because you're not quite sure you can deal with that kind of freedom. Right? You're comfortable where you are, maybe. Many people, when they're saved, here's what they do. They just leave one form of bondage and replace it with another form of bondage. That is, they leave the bondage of the world and the habits, their attitude, their fears. They become a Christian, and you know what they do? They just take on another kind of bondage, right? Another form of bondage. Like, oh, now I've got to live by the Ten Commandments. Now I've got to live by the Sermon on the Mount. Now I have to pray so much. Now I've got to read the Bible so much. I have to tithe so much. I've got to share my faith. I've got to raise disciples and all these things. But that's not freedom. That's just another form of bondage. Jesus said, when you know the truth, the truth will set you free. Now the problem is that if you can't identify the bondage, how will you ever be set free? And there are multitudes of people out there, probably most Christians sitting in churches week after week, living in bondage and they don't even know it. Living what they call the normal Christian life. But that life is really totally subpar, normal from what God really wants us to be. Because nobody has ever told them that they can be really free from all that. You see, they still don't really know the truth. Well, they might know John 3:16. They might know 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, the gospel. Right? But does that make them free? Look at what the believers in Jesus' time say. So they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Now, is their statement even true? Right? Weren't the Israelites like slaves in Egypt and slaves to the Assyrians and slaves to the Babylonians? Right? Aren't they currently slaves, kind of, to the Roman government? So they didn't even know that they were, in fact, slaves at that very moment. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You see, what people perceive is true is really relative, right? The same with sin. Everybody has their own definition of truth and of sin, or what, you know, or what is bondage to them. So let me ask you a question. So if I invite you to go out deer hunting with me, okay, we're going to go deer hunting. But then my intention is that when I get out there, I'm going to kill you in the woods. Would that be a sin? Right? Seems right. But then, what did Abraham, wasn't that what Abraham did when he tricked Isaac into going up the mountain to make him a sacrifice? All right, so now you're thinking, oh, wait a minute. Well, okay. You're twisting the truth here, Russell, right? Now you're suddenly like rethinking your answer. Well, maybe the context changed. So you say, well, maybe it's okay to kill if God tells him to do that, or his prophets to do that. Then okay, that's different, right? Because the context has changed. So you know, was it okay for Elijah to put to death all the prophets of Baal? Right, in 1 Kings 18? Or how about Jehu, right, to have the evil queen Jezebel thrown out the window to her death? Was that okay? Right, God doesn't say shame on you, Jehu. Or what about Samson, who killed thousands of Philistines? Was that okay? You see, real truth should not depend on context or current value system or the culture of the time, right? So what about today? Culture says, well, premarital sex or abortion, that's okay, right? Or we often judge by appearances or our value system or our traditions, right? How about parents? Is it okay to lie to our children because of tradition? Like at Christmas time? Right? You know what I'm talking about. You see, Satan does a really good job at distorting the truth, doesn't he? Making us confused. You know, even what I used to think was like true 10 years ago, like I've changed my perception about some things. So I don't see certain things the same way any longer, right? So our reality, our truth, it can change. It can evolve over time. Isn't that true? Or isn't it? Right. Do I have you questioning what is truth? Right. That was my point. Okay. How do we know what is really truth? Because Jesus, this is important, right? Because Jesus says it's the truth that's going to set us free. So we better know what that truth is. So there is only one way to know the real truth. That is, you have to stand before the light. That is Christ Jesus. Right? Only his light can reveal the truth about darkness. Only in Jesus' light can sin be exposed for what it is. Right? Truth can't be known by any other means, really. I mean, I really thought about this. Not by science, not by cultural consensus, not by anything. Only Jesus can reveal truth. This is why a relationship with Jesus is so necessary. Right? Once you have that relationship, though, it doesn't mean that you're automatically free from your bondage. But it means that you are no longer have to be bound by what is binding you, because you now know what sin is when you come into the light. Right? Like the First John up there, when you walk in the light. So in your relationship with Jesus, it can be exposed. And you can identify what it is that's binding you and choose to be free from it. You are no longer in Satan's house, where everything is darkness and lies, and the real truth there just remains a mystery. But in Jesus' house, the door of the prison has been opened, right? The boundaries have changed. And in the Father's house, we have a great freedom. A great freedom. We can make mistakes. We can grow. We can change and be transformed into Christ's likeness. Because in the Father's house, sin does not ultimately end in death. So we have great freedom. In the Father's house, the rules are different. Where sin abounds, in the Father's house, grace abounds even more. Paul declared to the Galatian Christians, what did he say? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He was asking them, why are you choosing to remain in bondage when you're now free, Galatian Christians? Right? Why are you imposing all these religious practices on yourself, like circumcision and all these things, right? As long as we choose not to come deeper into the light, the truth remains hidden from us. And Satan, he likes to hold us in bondage indefinitely. So let me tell you some of the ways Satan keeps us in bondage. So I thought of four, there are many, right? But I just thought of four that I think are pretty prevalent today. So one form of bondage is, I think, one of the most subtle forms of bondage that Satan injects on people, and that's a false sense of guilt. False sense of guilt. That is the feeling of being guilty. Notice I said feeling. being guilty. Did you know that many people live all their lives feeling guilty? Something? But I think if you ask them, well, why do you feel guilty? They'd probably struggle to come up with a legitimate reason for why they feel guilty. But if they've been saved by the grace of God, that is that they have been justified, which means they have been declared by Almighty God not guilty, pardoned of sin, they are really free. But Satan tries to cloud their mind with a false sense of guilt. And when a person feels guilty, what do they automatically feel? Condemnation, right? When you feel guilty, how does that make you feel about your relationship with God? You feel condemned, very insecure. Because if I feel guilty, then I'm not sure what God might do next. So I've got to walk very carefully, right? And that's the way some people walk through their whole Christian life, very carefully. Oh, not too committed, just enough to uphold my, Christian appearance. You know, it's like a cloud they can't really grab. It's just there. It's like it's a terrible way to live. Second form of bondage is a poor self-image. They say, you know what, I just don't measure up. I'm not good like him. I'm not her. You know? A self-image is, in essence, is the way I see myself. So it doesn't make any difference the way other people see me. It's the way I see myself. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Right? He is going to act out what he believes about himself. You're going to act out your life based on the way you see yourself. So if you have been pre-programmed to think little of yourself, to think, oh, you can't, or, then you won't. If you live your life that way, you will continually feel inadequate, insufficient, that you don't belong, that you're unworthy. You might say, you don't know me, but it doesn't matter because I know what God says about you. Jesus says, I've come to set you free, not to put you in another form of bondage. Number three, a third form of bondage is unforgiving spirit. So friends, this I think has more people in bondage these days than you can ever imagine. We say, oh, you don't know what he did to me or she did to me. How they treated me. You see, no matter who wronged you or for what reason, you are the one who chooses to be in bondage or not. Listen to me carefully. Nobody can put you in bondage unless you consent to be there. When somebody has wronged you and you hold it against them, you choose to put yourself in prison. You lock the door yourself. You put yourself in bondage. You're there on your own making. So it's a very subtle, form of bondage that Satan has many people bound in, right? There's so much of this mentality today. Like, instead of a forgiving spirit, they have an unforgiving spirit, right? An unforgiving spirit leads to a mentality of, well, you owe me because of the wrongs I've suffered or my ancestors suffered or whatever. My friends, that is Satan's trap. Don't fall into it. Right? It's terribly damaging. Damaging to your emotions, damaging to your spirit. Another form of bondage prevalent today is sexual sin. It's not just sin, it's a form of bondage, right? It may have begun in many different ways. We know pornography is a key element in putting people into this bondage. And you and I are living in a sensual age, and we have to work at keep from keep from falling into this trap. You have to put on the full armor of God every morning when you get out of bed. Are you putting on the full armor of God every day? Say amen. We have to do it. It's a form of bondage, and it's not just limited to young people. Adults are just as open to those forms of bondage as young people. In fact, sometimes more. All right, think again about what Jesus said. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The only way to know the truth, to come into the light, to hold, then we can identify, we can know Jesus' teaching, the way out. But you know what? That's not always easy, right? It's going to require standing against, often, the weight of the society and the culture, right? It's much easier to believe, well, I'm inadequate, I'm lacking in some way because that's what society is telling me. I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, you know, I'm not beautiful enough, whatever. It's much easier to accept the idea of, oh, it's okay to demand reparations for the wrongs that I've suffered instead of learning to forgive. Or it's much easier to go along with all the sexual perversion in society than to take a stand against them. Holding Jesus' teaching is hard. It requires commitment to do so. So I looked this up in the Greek, right? Hold to my teachings is really translated, live in my word. Live in my word. So it means we've got to commit to making Jesus' word a part of who we are. And if we look through this passage in verse 37, Jesus also says we also have to make room for his word. Right? You know, last month, Ruth and I, we had a garage sale, right? Because accumulate a lot of junk, and so we got to make room for something else, from new furniture. So likewise, if our hearts are full of something else, there's no room for Jesus to do his work in us. We're not free to become that which God wants us to be. And in verse 51 and 55, Jesus talks about also obeying the word. Obey the word. So to live in his word is more than just disciplined thinking or knowing his teaching, it is to obey and apply it practically. So when Jesus said, when you live in my word, you will know the truth will set you free. Now here is the million-dollar question today. What truth is it that sets me free? Well, I know the Ten Commandments. Does that set me free? No. Well, I know the Sermon on the Mount. I can recite the whole thing every day. Will that set me free? Not necessarily. Well, I can quote John 3:16. Will that set me free? No. There are many, many truths in the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says, right, in John 17, his word is truth. But there is one truth that really sets us free. That truth is understanding and applying the truth of who I am in Christ, who he is in me, and responding to life out of that truth. Believing in God. Right. But even the evil spirits believe in God, right? So that doesn't set us free. So to put it simply, the truth that sets you free is knowing who you are in him and who he is in you. I want you to think about that. You can't be free until you know yourself, until you can identify your bondage, and you can't know yourself until you can see yourself as Christ sees you. Again, that comes from that relationship. We must know the truth of who you are in your relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free Indeed, the Son sets you free. It is only in our relationship to the Son, to Jesus, that true freedom is possible. So let me break that down. Who are you in the Son, and who is He in you? Well, let me tell you who you are based on God's word. You are saved. You are a saint. You are a child of God. You have been redeemed, justified, declared righteous. You're no longer guilty, pardoned from your sins, sanctified and set apart in Him. You're owned by God. You're a possession of Almighty God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're on your way to heaven. You have been forgiven of your sin. You have an inheritance waiting for you. We could go on, right? You are accepted in Him, not by what you do or by your performance, but by His grace. Do you really know who you are in Him? Do you see yourself as God sees you? Have you been accepted by God? Yes. You've been made accountable, made acceptable to God through His blood, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and nothing in all creation can alter your acceptance by God on the basis of who I am, period. I don't have to perform, that frees me. You see, God doesn't give you 25 things you have to do in order to be set free. He just gives you one thing. Know the Son, know His teachings, live in His word, you will know Him, and you're free. So when you recognize a form of bondage, then we must respond to it out of the relationship you have with the Son. If you are a believer, then the question isn't if you can be free. The question is, do you want to be free? The truth about you is you are indwelt by the sovereign God of the universe through the Holy Spirit. All Jesus has is yours, said Jesus. You are indwelt by God, holy, righteous. He is in you. You are in Christ Jesus. You are totally secured in Him. So when Satan fires one of those fiery missiles, temptation is coming at you. You can see that temptation coming. What do you do? Do you say, oh, I think there's nothing I can do. This bondage I've struggled with so long. How am I? I can't overcome it. You know what? You're wrong. You must choose to respond to that temptation out of the truth of who you are in Him. You are a child of the living God. Christ Jesus is your light and your life. You can reject any form of temptations by simply resisting it in the name of Jesus Christ, and you do not have to yield. If you have to yield, then I'm closing the Bible, I'm quitting right now. Because we don't have a message to a world in bondage if we ourselves cannot be free, if we have to yield. We fall into bondage out of choice and often out of ignorance. Again, we can read the Bible 24 hours a day. That doesn't necessarily free us. You can pray 10 hours a day. You can get into bondage even in that. You can win 1,000 people to Christ in a year, still be in bondage. But when you begin to choose to walk into life on the basis of your relationship with the Son, you will be free indeed. Jesus has already opened the door to your prison. Right? Walk out. Get up. Walk out. Get out. But subconsciously we say, you know, well, I've been here for years. This is all I know. We may even feel cozy and comfortable there in our bondage. But you will never be what God wants you to be until you break out. So the only thing you have to do today to be free is to choose, in the name of Jesus Christ, to start responding from this moment out of the truth of who you are in Him. That isn't to say that tomorrow morning Satan isn't going to immediately avalanche you with all sorts of things to try to bind you. But all you have to do is remind him who you are in Christ. Tell him, you know what, Satan, I'm accepted. I am loved. I know who I am. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, but I am in the Father's house. I am a child of God. Let's free ourselves from our bondage. So we're going to let our balloons float away today. So I want these freeing of ourselves, our balloons, to be a sign of our leaving our bondage behind today. We're going to move to higher ground. Okay? And as our balloons float to the ceiling, let's really think about who we are in Christ Jesus. All right? So you ready to move to higher ground? Get out of our bondage? All right, let's do it. Let's free our balloons. Don't stay in bondage. Free yourself. Don't hang on to that balloon. All right. Have we moved to higher ground? All right. So let's just remember our balloons. Now, the next time, okay, we can get the balloons down later, kids, all right, if we need to. Okay, let's have a seat. Let's have a seat. All right, the next time Satan hits you, or the next time you become aware of bondage, just remember this. Right? To stay in bondage is your choice. Right? It's just like your choice to hang on to that balloon or not. But Jesus invites us today to set us free from what is holding us back, and if we so choose, right? If we so choose to let the Son set us free, what will we be? Free indeed. Amen. All right, let me pray. Lord Jesus, the believers in today's passage did not respond well to Jesus' offer of freedom. Their pride was offended. They were slaves of sin, but were too proud to admit it. Some of them were illegitimate children because they refused to accept Jesus' teaching. Yet Jesus still gave them an amazing promise. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Jesus invites even those who reject him to be set free in him. In you, Lord, our chains are broken. Our feeling of guilt and condemnation is gone. We are free from fear. We are free to come close to you, to boldly approach your throne. We are free from fighting amongst our others, and instead free to serve each other humbly in love. We are free to grow in love, joy, peace. peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Thank you, Lord, that our relationship with the Son sets us free, and we are free indeed. All right. Kevin is going to lead.